My message this morning is one of those good news, bad news kind of things. The good news is my message is only about 7 or 8 minutes long. Amen. The bad news is I got a long introduction. So let's get started. Let me set the stage for you. King Saul, the first king of Israel, was dead. He was killed in a battle with the Philistines. His son Jonathan, who Saul wanted to succeed him as king, was killed in the same battle. Abner, who was in our scripture reading a moment ago, was the captain of Saul's host. He was Saul's general. And when Saul and Jonathan both died, Abner took another son of Saul, a man by the name of Ishbosheth, and made him the king over Israel. In the meantime, David, who God had Samuel anoint as the best king, had fled. You know, Saul had been after him to kill him because he didn't want David to be the next king. He wanted Jonathan to be the next king. So when Saul died, David had fled to Hebron, a city of Judah. David was of the tribe of Judah. And when he got to Judah, his kinfolk decided they wanted him to be the king, at least the king of Judah. And so when David got there, they anointed him as the king of Judah. And so at this point in time, you have two kings. You have this guy called Ishbosheth, who was the king of the other 11 tribes of Israel. And you have David, who, again, was of the tribe of Judah, and he was anointed the king of Judah. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 2, we read about a battle that took place between Abner and his men and Joab and his men. Now, Joab was the captain of David's host, and so he was David's general, okay? So here's Abner, who was the captain of Saul's host, Saul's general, who now has appointed Ishbosheth the king of Israel. And Joab, who is the general of David's army, who has been anointed king of Judah, they come together in this place to have a battle. In 2 Samuel 2, verse 17, the Bible says, "And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David." And so when they came together in this battle, Abner against Joab, Abner was beaten badly. In fact, the Bible tells us in verses 30 and 31 how badly Abner was beaten. Abner that day lost 360 men. Joab lost 20. Okay? So again, Israel and Abner were beaten badly, but the numbers don't tell the whole story. Numbers don't tell the whole story. And this is important to what we're going to talk about this morning. One of the 20 men that were in Joab's army that was killed was his younger brother named Asahel. Okay? There were actually three brothers in David's army. You had Joab, who was the captain of the army. You had a man by the name of Abishai, who became one of David's mighty men. That's talked about in the Bible. And then you had Asahel, the younger of the three brothers. Asahel was described as light of foot as a wild roe. In other words, he was as fast as a wild deer. He could run and run and run. So in this battle, Asahel, the younger brother, set his sights on Abner. He ignored all the other soldiers in the Israeli army, and he went after the captain. He went after Abner. The Bible says he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Now, Abner saw him. He knew who he was. He asked him to be sure in 1 Samuel 2:20, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." Now, there was some amount of honor between these two captains. I mean, they knew each other. In fact, they had probably served together in Saul's army. Abner probably was in Saul's army for a while before he started following. Joab was probably in Saul's army for a while and served with Abner before he started following David. And so they knew each other. Abner knew Joab's brother. And because there was some honor between them, some relationship between them, he did not want to kill Joab's brother. He did not want to have to do that. And so he said to Ashiel, and Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take his armor." What Abner said, hey, quit following me. If you want to fight somebody, go pick on somebody else. If you want a trophy from this battle, and they took each other's armor as trophies. If you want a trophy from this battle, go get one of my soldiers, kill him, and take his armor, but quit following me. Don't follow me. I don't want to have to kill you. I know your brother Joab, and I don't want to have to take your life, so quit chasing me and go find somebody else to fight. And if you kill them, take their armor, but leave me alone. Now, the Bible says that Ashiel would not turn aside from following Abner. And so Abner had to kill him. The Bible says he stuck a spear through his chest under his fifth rib and killed Ashiel, Joab's brother. So the battle ended. Abner went back to Israel. Joab went back to Judah. Some time passes. Abner has a falling out with Ishbosheth, the son of Saul he had set up to be the king. For sake of time, I won't tell you what the falling out was about, but you can read it in 2 Samuel chapter 3. It involved one of Saul's concubines. It involved Abner going into that concubine and Ishmael rebuking him for doing that. And Abner said, hey, I'm the one that set you up to be king. I don't support you anymore. And so Abner says, and he didn't tell anybody this, but he said to himself, I'm going to go see David. In fact, I'm going to deliver all the tribes of Israel. I'm going to deliver them to David. So he sends the words to David. He said, David, how would you like to be king over all of Israel? How would you like to be king not only of your tribe, the tribe of Judah, but how would you like to be king of all Israel just like Saul was? And David says, well, I'd like that. David said, God anointed me to be king over all of Israel. And so, yeah, if you can deliver me the tribes of Israel and help them set me up as king over them, I would like that a lot. So David sends a word to Abner, come on, let's talk about it. And so Abner takes 20 men with him, 20 of his soldiers, and he goes to Hebron, a city in the tribe of Judah where David was, and they have a little meeting, and they make an agreement. Abner's going to go back, and again, Abner got something out of the deal. The Bible doesn't tell us what it is, but he said to David, hey, if you'll make an agreement with me, I'll go back and I'll get all the other tribes of Israel to come to you and you can be the king over all of them. And so they strike this deal. Abner and his 20 men leave. Okay? They go back, he's going to go back and he's going to make preparations to make David king over all of Israel. Now, when this meeting took place, Joab was gone. He was off fighting another battle. He comes back. Some of the servants say, hey, Joab, you know what happened when you were gone? When you were gone, Abner came and visited King David, and David let him go. Joab was mad. He was angry. He went into King David and he said, David, what are you doing? Abner didn't come to be your friend. He came to spy on you. He came to see how you come in and go out. He's getting ready to attack. He doesn't want you to be king of all Israel. He's fooling you. He's messing with you. He's trying to trick you. Why'd you let him go? Why didn't you kill him when he was here in the middle of the camp? Joab was angry. And so Joab sends word to Abner, and the Bible doesn't say, but he probably did it in the name of David. He sent word to Abner and said, hey, you need to come back. There's some more details we need to work out in our deal. So the messenger gets to Abner. Abner and his 20 men come back to the city of Hebron. And instead of going in to David, Joab goes out and meets him in the gate. In other words, outside of the city, in the gate of Hebron. The Bible says he did it quietly, under the guise of just talking to him. But while they were talking, and this is where our scripture reading started a moment ago, while they were talking, Joab and his brother Abishai killed Abner. They killed him the same way that Abner had killed their younger brother. They stuck a spear through his chest under the fifth rib and killed Abner. That's what we read in 2 Samuel 3:30. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Now, David didn't know all this was going on. He got upset with Joab. He believed that Abner, and I believe that Abner was true in what he was going to do. I believe that Abner was getting ready to go back to Israel and deliver the other 11 tribes to David and make David the king over all 12 tribes of Israel. And so he was angry with Joab, and he says, we're going to have a funeral and we're going to mourn for Abner. You killed him, Joab. I know why you killed him. You killed him out of revenge. You wanted revenge for your younger brother. That's why you killed Abner the same way that Abner killed Asahel. But I want everybody to know this was not my idea. I was not for killing Abner, and so we're going to honor him. We're going to give him a funeral. We're going to bury him. And as part of that commemoration or part of that service for Abner, here's what David said about him. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters, as a man falleth before wicked, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. Died Abner as a fool. That's the title of my message this morning. And so I'm to my message. So we only got about 8 minutes left. So hang on. Here, I got 3 points this morning. Abner died as a fool. He died as a fool, and my message, I want to give you 3 reasons why he died as a fool. Number one, he died as a fool because he knew that Joab wanted to kill him. He knew that Joab wanted revenge. He knew that when he came back, and instead of meeting David, he met Joab outside the city, he knew that his life would not last much longer. He should have known better than to meet Joab alone outside the city. He should have known better than to leave the 20 soldiers that he had brought with him. He should have said, no, Joab, I'll meet with you, but I'm bringing my guys with me. I'm bringing these 20 soldiers with me. I'm not going to meet with you by myself. I'm not going to meet with you in the gate of the city by myself because I know that you want to kill me. And I'm not going to put myself in a position where you can destroy my life. He died as a fool because he knew what Joab wanted to do. Number two, he died as a fool because he met Joab in the gate of the city instead of in the city of Hebron itself. Now, let me just tell you real quickly, Hebron was a city of refuge. It was one of 6 cities that was set up by Moses that if a person accidentally killed somebody and their family of the person that was killed wanted revenge against the murderer, the one that did the killing accidentally or in a non-premeditated manner could flee to the city of refuge and be protected from anybody that wanted to take revenge on them. Abner had killed Asahel. But he did not do it in a premeditated way. In fact, he said, hey, quit bothering me, quit chasing me, go kill somebody else, take their armor, I don't want to kill you. He was forced to kill Asahel. He did it in the matter of self-defense. He was defending himself. And if he had gone into the city, if he'd gone into the city of Hebron, he would have been protected by the city under the law that Moses gave for the cities of refuge. He should have said to Joab, I'll meet you, but we're going to meet in the city. I'm not going to meet you at the gate outside the city. We're going to go into the city walls. We're going to go into the city proper. I'm going to claim the protection that the city of refuge offers to me. I know you want to kill me. I know you want revenge for me killing your brother. He should have never come back and met with Joab alone. He should have never left his 20 soldiers to meet with Joab alone. And he should have not met in the gate outside the city. He should have stepped into the walls where he would have been protected by the laws of the city of refuge. Number three, he died as a fool. He died as a fool. I got to find out where I am. I can't figure out. Yeah, I know I'm at number three, but where's number? Oh, there it is. Number three. Thank you. Who said that? Stay out of my preaching. All right. He died as a fool, number three, because he chose not to avail himself of the city's protection. He chose to stay in a place that his enemy could destroy him. That's my three points. Say, oh, that's great. What does that have to do with me? Let me tell you. Let me tell you. Number one, Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants you to spend eternity apart from God. Satan wants you to spend eternity in hell. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation from God. The Bible says there's only one fix to our sin problem, and that fix is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary's cross. When Jesus went to the cross, God took all of my sin, he took all of your sin, he laid them on his son, and Jesus paid the price that we owed. And so that's the solution, that's the remedy to our sin problem. But Satan wants to destroy you, and Satan will do everything he can to keep you away from Christ. He'll do everything he can to keep you away from the cross. He'll do everything he can to keep you away from the empty grave. Satan wants to destroy you. He'll do everything that he can to keep you away from God's salvation. Satan wants you to never be forgiven of your sin. Satan wants you to never be justified in the sight of God. Satan never wants you to experience the new life that we can have in Christ that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Now, what I'm going to say next is not part of my message. It's just something that I was thinking about last night that the Lord just has led me to share with you. Why? Why does Satan hate us so much? Why does Satan want to destroy us? Why are we so important to Satan? Here's the answer. We're not. You and I are not one, have one bit of importance to Satan. And Satan does not hate us. Satan hates God. Satan hates God. Satan tried to get to God, but he couldn't. He tried to get to God and set himself up above God, and God kicked him out of heaven and all the angels that followed him. And so Satan knows that he can't get to God. Satan knows that he can't get at God. And so instead of trying to get to God, he gets at something that he knows is going to hurt God. He gets after us. He doesn't hate us. We're not important. We have no importance at all. Satan, he doesn't care one bit about us. But he hates God. And he knows the only way that he can get to God is to get us. And he knows if he gets us, he'll cause God's pain. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, let me remind you this morning. The only two times that's recorded in the Bible where God wept was when Jesus stood outside the city of Jerusalem. And when Jesus stood at Lazarus' grave and people did not believe that he could save them, he said to Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you unto myself like a hen gathers her chicks and put you under the protection of my wings, but you wouldn't come. You wouldn't come. And the Bible says on that occasion, Jesus wept. He stood around Lazarus' grave. They were all weeping, as Lydia sang about a moment ago. They thought all hope was gone. And Jesus wept. He didn't weep for Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wept because there was a bunch of people that didn't believe that he could do what he was going to do. They didn't believe him as God. They didn't believe him as the Savior. The Bible says there's going to be no tears in heaven on the part of the children of God. But I think our God will weep a bucket full of tears when he looks down and he sees Satan taking the people that he gave his son to die for, taking them away from the cross. Taking them away from salvation. Look, if God loved you enough as an individual to send his son to die in your place, don't you think it's going to break his heart when he looks down and he sees Satan leading you away from the Savior? He sees Satan leading you away from the cross. He sees Satan leading you away from the empty tomb. He sees Satan leading you away from salvation. Don't you think that's going to break the heart of God? That's the only way that Satan can get to God. Is come after us. So Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy us. Number two, our salvation is near. For Abner was only a few steps into the city to be saved from this one that wanted to take revenge. For you and me, our salvation is only a prayer away. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The prayer can be as simple as, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. I can't stand under the condemnation of my sin. There's nothing I can do on my own to save myself. Jesus, I believe when you died to pay the price of my sin. Save me. Save me from the penalty of my sin. Our salvation is near. It's just a few words away. If you're here this morning and you never received Christ, your salvation from sin is close. I mean, you don't even have to say the words out loud. You can say them in your mind. You can ask Jesus to save you right now, and you can do that. You're close to salvation. Number three, some will die a fool. Some here this morning will die a fool. Because they will choose not to take salvation. You see, God's done all he can do. He sent Jesus. He laid on him all our sin. Jesus died to pay the price that we owed. But he didn't stay dead. Like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, he came out of that grave. He defeated sin and death. He offers life to all people. All we have to do is decide to take it. It's a decision of the will. Jesus said, you're not going to be saved because you will not come to me. You will decide not to come to me. And there will be people in this room this morning that will make that decision. And they'll die just like Abner. They'll die a fool. Because they know. Listen to me, you know Satan wants to destroy you. Your salvation is close, but you'll die a fool because you'll never take it. Please don't be one of those people this morning. Please do not leave this place without asking Jesus to be your Savior. Amen. He'll do it. He's done it for scores of people in this room this morning. If we had time, we could stand and testify, and I'd be first. I'll tell you what the Lord did for me when he saved me. I was a sinner headed for hell. As black as sin could be, that was me. But Jesus loved me. He died for me, and he saved me. And he'll save you. Would you take him this morning? Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this true story that you've put in the Bible that reminds us that Satan wants to destroy us. But our safety is close. Our safety is just a prayer away. And if we ask Jesus this morning, he'd save us. And I pray for every person in this room that's never done that. Help them to see that they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is to be separated from you, and there's nothing they can do to make it right. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he was telling us the truth. The only way that we can get our sins forgiven is to come to him. And so, Father, I pray for every person that's here that's never received Christ. Help them not to leave before they make that decision, before they pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for all the Christians that are here. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And we rejoice this morning because we've heard once again the old, old story about how Jesus loved us. Help us to love him more. Help us to have a desire to serve him more, because we've been reminded this morning how much he loves us. Father, please bless this invitation. As we stand and sing in just a minute, help those that don't know Christ to just walk down the aisle. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how they can ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this invitation, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.